Christopher Columbus, the man who discovered new worlds.
I was one of the most famous explorers in history. Although I didn't discover America, as some people believe, I opened up new worlds to Europeans. I was an expert sailor and navigator who made 4 voyages across the Atlantic. I was born in Genoa, on the northwest coast of Italy, in 1451. From an early age, I loved the sea, and I made my first voyage when I was only 10 years old. In 1473, I became apprenticed to one of the most important families in Genoa, the Centurioni family. I sailed on several trading voyages for the family, buying and selling goods, but in 1476, a disaster happened which nearly ended my life. My fleet was attacked near the coast of Portugal by French privateers, ships carrying weapons whose owners were paid by the French government to attack enemy ships. My ship was destroyed, but fortunately, I was able to swim ashore. I traveled to Lisbon, where my brother Bartholomew had a job making maps. After that, I continued working for the Centurioni family. I made several more voyages, buying and selling goods in England, Ireland, and Iceland, as well as in Guinea on the west coast of Africa. I married into a rich family. My wife's name was Philippa Moniz Perestrello, and she was the daughter of the governor of Porto Santo, who'd been a navigator and explorer. Philippa gave me charts of the Atlantic Ocean, which her father had drawn, and these maps were very helpful to me. In 1480, we had a son who we named Diego Colón. But sadly, Philippa died in 1485, and Diego and I moved to Cadiz in Spain. By 1488, I was busy making plans for an ambitious voyage to discover a sea route to China and India. These countries in the East were sources of valuable goods, such as silk and spices, which people in Europe wanted. These goods were brought to Europe by merchants traveling along the Silk Road. This journey passed through many countries and was very difficult and dangerous. However, I was sure it would be possible to travel west by sea around the world to reach the countries of the East. In 1483, I spoke to the King of Portugal and asked him to sponsor me. In other words, to give me money to buy ships and men for my voyage. But I was very disappointed when he refused to support me. The first voyage, 1492 to 1493. Next, I spoke to King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella of Spain. I promised them that if they gave me money for my voyage, I'd bring back great wealth for Spain from the countries in the East. It wasn't easy to persuade them, especially as my ideas about the size of the earth and the oceans were different from other people's. Many people laughed at me and said I was a fool and that my ships would fall off the end of the world. But at last, the king and queen agreed to support me. I knew the journey would be dangerous, but I found some brave sailors who were looking for adventure and the chance to become rich. On the 3rd of August, 1492, I set sail from Palos in Spain with 3 ships and a crew of 90 sailors. Our flagship, the largest ship, was named the Santa Maria, and the 2 smaller ships were the Pinta and the Niña. After stopping for a month for repair work at Gomera in the Canary Islands, we sailed across the Atlantic for 35 days. But then we ran into some serious problems because we'd eaten almost all our food. The crew became worried and unhappy and said that they would no longer do what I told them. They said that if I didn't turn the ship around, they'd throw me into the sea. Fortunately, the next day, the 11th of October, we saw land, and I was convinced that we'd reached India. On the 12th of October, 1492, we landed on an island which we claimed immediately for Spain and named San Salvador. The native island people were friendly, and I noticed that they were wearing jewelry made of gold. From there we sailed to another island, which I called Juana. It's now called Cuba. And then east to an island which we named Hispaniola, now made up of Haiti and the Dominican Republic. However, on Christmas Day 1492, a terrible accident happened. Our flagship, the Santa Maria, hit the rocks near the coast of Hispaniola, broke into pieces, and sank. With the help of the island people, we rescued everything we could from our broken ship and used it to build a settlement, Villa de la Navidad, Christmas Town. Unfortunately, there was no room for the 39 sailors of the Santa Maria's crew in the two smaller ships, so I had to leave them behind on Hispaniola. After promising that I'd return for them as quickly as I could, I set sail for Spain on the 16th of January with the Pinta and the Niña. But the voyage across the sea in winter was very dangerous, with storms and huge waves. Our two ships became separated, and we were forced to stop at Lisbon in Portugal. The Niña arrived there on the 3rd of March, 1493, and the Pinta on the 15th of March. A week later, I reached Spain, where there were great celebrations at my return. King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella were delighted when I told them I'd found a route across the sea to India and China, and they gave me a new title, Governor of the Indies. The Second Voyage, 1493 to 1496. My first voyage hadn't been completely successful. I'd returned to Spain having lost my best ship and without much gold. So I persuaded King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella that I needed to go back and continue searching for China and Japan. I was sure that those countries were near the islands which I'd already discovered. So in September 1493, I set sail again, but this time with a much larger fleet of 17 ships and over 1,000 men. My orders from the King and Queen were to increase the size of the settlement on Hispaniola and establish trade routes with the cities of the Far East. We crossed the Atlantic quickly, and on the 22nd of November, we reached Hispaniola. But on Hispaniola, we found a terrible situation. All the 39 sailors I had left behind were dead. I was told that the island people had become angry because my men had taken some women from a local tribe, and so they'd killed them. We had to leave that place, but I started a new settlement on the north coast of Hispaniola, which we called La Isabella, the name of the Queen of Spain. We also started exploring other parts of the island to look for gold, but we didn't find much. So in April 1494, I took three ships and went to look for China. But instead, we landed on Juana, Cuba. I was convinced that Juana was part of China and not an island. From Juana, we sailed to Jamaica, but the people were unfriendly, so we returned to Hispaniola. I was an excellent sea captain, but I didn't do very well as governor of Hispaniola and the Indies. Some of the young Spaniards who sailed with me refused to accept my authority because they thought of me as an Italian foreigner. In addition, many of the native Indian tribes were very unfriendly. They kept attacking us, but we defeated them. I sent a letter to Queen Isabella telling her that I planned to take some of the island people as slaves and sell them. But she wasn't happy about that idea and ordered me not to do it. On the 10th of March 1496, I set sail for Spain, leaving my brothers to govern the settlement. The third voyage, 1498 to 1500. On the 30th of May, 1498, I set sail once more from Spain on another trip to the New World, this time with a fleet of 6 ships. 3 ships sailed to Hispaniola, carrying fresh supplies of food to the people in the settlement, while I led the other 3 ships south to do more exploring. Unfortunately, in the middle of the Atlantic, we ran into the doldrums, which are an area with no wind, so that our ships couldn't move for several days. Just as our water supplies were getting dangerously low, the wind started blowing again. We sailed on until an island with 3 hills appeared, which I called Trinidad. On the 31st of July, we landed our ships on the southern coast of this island, where we got fresh supplies of food and water. From Trinidad, we explored the Gulf of Paria, which separates Trinidad from the country now called Venezuela, near the mouth of the great Orinoco River. We landed on the coast of South America, and so we became the first Europeans to arrive in this great land. However, by this time I was becoming seriously ill, so I decided that we would return to Hispaniola. But when we reached the island on the 19th of August, we found an awful situation. Many of the settlers who'd come from Spain were refusing to accept my authority. They said that I'd lied about the wealth of the New World, and they complained about how my 2 brothers were governing the settlement. But there was something worse. Many of the settlers and sailors who'd returned from Hispaniola to Spain had complained about me to King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella. As a result, in 1500, the king and queen sent a royal official, Francisco de Bobadilla, to Hispaniola with orders to remove me from power. My brothers and I were arrested and sent back to Spain in chains. We were put in prison, but after several weeks we were freed, and I was allowed to return to the New World. However, I'd lost my title of governor of the Indies, and Bobadilla had become governor in my place. The fourth voyage, 1502 to 1504. I persuaded the king and queen to allow me to go on one last voyage to find the wealth I'd promised them. In addition, I still wanted to find the route across the sea to the Indian Ocean. So on the 11th of May, 1502, I left Cadiz in Spain with 3 ships and 140 men, including my brother Bartholomew. But when we reached Hispaniola, the new governor, Bobadilla, wouldn't let me land. The seas were very rough and dangerous, and I knew there was going to be a hurricane, a storm with very strong winds. I warned Bobadilla, but he wouldn't listen to me. Against my advice, a Spanish fleet of 30 ships left the island carrying a large amount of gold, while my own ships were safe at the mouth of the river Yaina. As a result, my ships had only a little damage, but Bobadilla's fleet sailed straight into the hurricane, and 29 of his 30 ships sank, 500 men died, including Bobadilla, and all the gold was lost. After this disaster, we left Hispaniola and spent the next 2 months exploring Central America, arriving in Panama on the 16th of October, 1502. In January 1503, I left a group of soldiers to guard the mouth of the Belen River. But on the 6th of April, one of our ships became stranded in the river and couldn't move, and our soldiers were attacked by native tribes. So on the 16th of April, we left Panama and went north. However, we ran into a storm near the coast of Cuba, and on the 25th of June 1503, we became stranded in St. Anne's Bay, Jamaica. We stayed stranded on Jamaica for a whole year in difficult conditions. The native tribes there weren't happy about us being on their island, and after some months, they didn't want to give us any more food. Luckily, I had an astronomical chart, and I found out that on the 29th of February 1504, there was going to be an eclipse of the moon, a very unusual event when the Earth passes between the sun and the moon. I told the island people that the moon was going to grow dark, but they didn't believe me. When it happened, they were so impressed that they continued giving us food. Ships finally arrived to help us in June, and my men and I sailed back to Spain, arriving there on the 7th of November, 1504. My fourth voyage was my final one. I'd been suffering from serious illnesses for many years, and I knew I didn't have much longer to live. I died in Spain on the 20th of May, 1506. When I thought about my life, I knew that I'd brought about some important changes. I'd opened up the new world to Europe, established settlements there, and brought back wealth for Spain. Many countries in the new world still celebrate the anniversary of my arrival in the Americas on the 12th of October, 1492, as an official holiday. Although it's celebrated as Columbus Day in the United States, it has different names in Spain and Latin American countries.